So you ever have a conversation with somebody, and you're not really paying much attention to the conversation, but then after you have the conversation, something hits you, and you end up using it in a sermon. So I'm gonna ask Alice's patience as I retell this story, because it won't be word for word, and she sometimes remembers the word for words better than I do. So it'll be slightly paraphrased. She's giving me the look. All right. So earlier, Alice was talking to her tablet, and you know, 20 years ago, that would have been a weird thing to say. Just talking to the computer. Well, nowadays you do. You talk to your tablet quite often. She asked her tablet something, and then when the tablet responded and replied, she said, "Thank you." And I thought to myself, and I vocalized it a bit, but my real thoughts were like, she's being nice to a computer. And in my head, I say, there's a Star Trek episode for that. For those unfamiliar with me, I grew up with a lot of Star Trek in my life, and I know a lot about Star Trek. And when she said thank you to the computer, my thought went to season 2, episode 16 of Star Trek The Next Generation, episode titled Q Who. And I was like, when the ensign is talking to the replicator, asks nicely, says, "Please, can I have some hot chocolate?" It produces some. The lieutenant gives her some grief about being nice to the computer, and then she even says thank you. I was like, I know Star Trek pretty well. So when my kid is nice to a computer, that's where my brain went. Well, our 316 has something to do with that today, not Star Trek. That's actually the last time you'll hear me speak about Star Trek for quite some time. Unless you come to my house and watch Star Trek with me. But as we close out our time here,
come visit us
anytime you want.
We have church every Sunday morning.
Yep. And oftentimes on Tuesdays we watch Star Trek together. So I mean, it's up to you. But as we close out our time here with the 316s, we've been going through several of them, and we've been a lot more in the New Testament than I kind of thought we'd be, but I kind of go where the Lord points me. So I was looking at Colossians 3:16, and I thought this would be a good close for our time here, because it kind of culminates where we've been going, and it matches with the song that we're going to be singing at the end. But Colossians in the New Testament, and I've been able to use this picture before, because we've done Philippians and 1 Corinthians. Now we're in Colossians 3:16, another letter Paul wrote. And Paul, as we know, he traveled around to a lot of these churches, planted some of them, and he would write letters, sometimes correcting them, sometimes encouraging them, and doing a lot of things. Well, today our passage takes us Colossians 3:12-17, and the 16 is kind of our core for today. And it says, Paul saying, starting at verse 12, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So, for today's message, I've kind of got I've got five kind of pieces of advice And with each piece of advice comes some scripture. So I'm going to have the advice up on the screen. You can put that in your notes or in your Bible or however you want. And then I'm not going to have the scripture on the screen because some of it I'm going to be paraphrasing a longer length of scripture. But some of it I am going to read, so it just depends on that. But as we look at this passage and this scripture, I kind of got five kind of pieces of advice to hopefully plant in our hearts. And the first one is to be encouragers. I got this out of this passage, is to encourage one another. And I get this from Acts 11. In Acts 11, we see a friend of Paul named Barnabas. And it says in Acts 11, from verses 21 to 26, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them." Exhorted also means encourage them to remain faithful to the Lord with a steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. So you know this is early on in Acts because he's still called Saul. He's not Paul yet. "And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." The reason why I want us to be encouragers, and hopefully others are encouragers to you as well, is because every human being has value. But sometimes they don't know it. Whether they are a high and mighty CEO or a homeless man on the street, in God's eyes, they have value and need to be encouraged. I was at a pastor's retreat a little over a week ago, and one of the pastor friends of mine, he was recounting an experience he had early in his career as a pastor. He had just started at this one church. It was his second or third church, I think. And every time after this sermon, someone came up to him and started saying, "Well, gee, you should have done this, or you should have done that, and you should have done this." And he was like, "Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you." And after about the sixth or seventh week, she came up again, and he says, "Hey, can I ask you something before you start?" And she says, "What do you want?" He says, could you give me a compliment before you start the other stuff?" And she got upset. She says, "I have the spirit of criticism." And he's like, "Could you show me that in the Bible, please?" And she couldn't. And she says, "Oh, I knew that about you. I know you just need encouragement." And he says, "No, I don't need it, but I do think you need to give it." Because encouragement is not just for the benefit of the person you're encouraging. It is also for you. It lifts up your spirit while lifting up someone else's. And it's a joint thing in fellowship. So you're giving, you're letting know the other person has value. And they value you as well. So be encouragers of one another. Be peacemakers. It's a lot of scriptures you could go through and stories in the Bible that could point to being peacemakers. And I'm not going to read this one, but if you are in a struggle with someone and you're having a hard time creating peace with them, look to Matthew 18. There's a very good outline on how to deal with conflict with someone. But the illustration I have today comes from 1 Samuel 25. And it deals with David, a guy named Nabal, and Nabal's wife, Abigail. And if you're thinking in the back of your head somewhere, it's like, "Hey, didn't David marry a gal named Abigail?" Yeah, he did. Probably shouldn't have, but he did. And during the time David was running from King Saul, he sent some of his men to a landowner named Nabal to ask him if he would share some food and supplies. David was on the run. He needed to help from other people while he was doing this. And Nabal was not a nice guy. He was mean. He said no to David. He insulted David. And David told his men to get ready to fight. He's like, okay, we're going to go there and we're just going to... This guy was so mean, we're just going to... Whatever. But Nabal's wife, Abigail, she was wise and kind. She took David's supplies and food and encouraged him not to attack Nabal in revenge. So David thanked her for stopping the attack and keeping the peace. She decided she didn't want bloodshed on her doorstep. She wanted peace. The funny thing about the whole ordeal is when she told her husband he died of a heart attack, and then she went and married David. So there was peace, but there was... But peace is something we should always seek out. And that's why I say Matthew 18 is a very good place to look, because it does tell us that if someone has sinned against us, that we should go to them one-on-one first and see if we can try to fix it. And if it doesn't work that way, then get a few other people and hopefully it can be fixed. And again, if not, then bring the whole church together. And the whole purpose of the whole peacemaking is to restore relationship. It's not to bring anyone down. It's actually an encouragement to restore peace. Another point is be forgivers. Those of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior know we have been forgiven of a great many things. And you could start in Genesis and go all the way through Revelation. There's thousands of stories of those who were forgiven. The one I selected comes from a gentleman by the name of Philemon. Philemon was a Christian believer. He was also a slave owner. And it came about that one of his slaves, a gentleman by the name of Onesimus, escaped from slavery, only to find himself an acquaintance of the Apostle Paul. And Paul liked Onesimus very much. They got along great. And Paul was like, oh, I'd just love it if Onesimus could stay here and serve me. But he's like, but you belong to my buddy Philemon. You gotta go back. And slavery and escaping slavery was a death sentence at worst, jail at best, which is pretty much a death sentence. But Onesimus had to go back to the man he escaped from, who has become a Christian. Onesimus is also now a Christian. And Paul writes a letter, and it's interesting how such a short letter of just a few hundred words got to be a part of our Bible. But in this letter, Paul says, this guy who became useless to you is now very useful because now you are brothers in Christ. You should forgive him because that's what God did for you. And the interesting thing about the name Onesimus is it means useful. So Paul was doing a little play on words. He became useless, but now he's useful again. If Jesus has forgiven us of what we've done, how dare we not forgive others who have sinned against us? And the interesting thing about forgiveness is you don't need to get the person's permission to forgive them. They do have, it's up to them to accept it. Just like Jesus offers all of us forgiveness, we do have to accept it. But forgiveness helps us be a peacemaker. And it encourages us and others. And with the transition happening today, how can I bring up David without bringing up Solomon? Be teachers. Ecclesiastes 12 is the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon says, besides being wise, the preacher, also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. A lot of people think teachers have to stand behind a pulpit to be teachers, or a lectern, or whatever it may be. Standing behind this pulpit doesn't make me a better teacher than any of you. I've gained wisdom and knowledge from people who have never been on this side of the pulpit. So if you have learned something from God and have a desire to share it, then please share it. I've heard countless testimonies from people who are young in their faith, and they've taught something to me who has been a Christian for a couple of decades. If you have learned something from God, be that teacher in someone's life. Solomon went through a lot of crazy stuff. Not that Solomon, the one in the Bible. I'm sure you've gone through some crazy stuff yourself. Hopefully not 700 wives. Otherwise, we might have some words after service here. Solomon, at the end of his life, is saying, of everything I did, of all these books I read, of all this study I did, the only thing that has been that matters is fear God, keep his commandments. This is the duty of man. Be teachers. Finally, be worshipers. Be worshipers of the one true God. This may in foremost be the most important. Psalm 96, 1-6 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." That's lowercase gods, because there is only one true God. "For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." If you remember from what we learned from 1 Corinthians 3:16, we are the temple. We are to sing in worship, and we, the temple, have strength and beauty in worship. So when we sing, sing your heart out. Because when we sing our hearts out, and we teach others to do the same, and we forgive others, and we make peace, and we encourage, we are in fellowship with one another and in fellowship with God and his will. Many years ago, I took a challenge up to read my Bible every day. This was in, I believe, October of 2001, and I started reading every day. And I'd love to say that I've never stopped. But I've had lulls in my life where I've stopped reading for some reason or another. And it impacts your soul when you stop reading God's Word. This January, I started doing the Bible recap, which Steve challenged you to do last year. And I have had so much fun reading and going through it. We're doing it at our church in the morning. And it's really interesting how it went through, because it starts in Genesis, then it goes to Job, which is not in the order of the Bible, but they said it's in chronological order. So I was like, oh, I know we're having a hard time going through Job. It's kind of weird. But let's keep going, and we're learning, and we're growing. Then we got to Leviticus, and I said, don't you miss Job? There was a resounding amen on that one. But the interesting thing is, when we are committed to reading the Bible, when we are committed to reading God's Word, and we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, teaching us and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God, it helps us to be encouragers, to be peacemakers, to be forgivers and teachers and worshipers of the one true God. And it does end with, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever we do, we do it for Jesus. Amen. We've been singing the song about the Word of God, and I'm going to have us stand one more time and sing it together, and then I'll close us in prayer, and then I believe there's cake. I believe there's cake. Thank you for your word. If there's any of us out there, Lord, that has never read through your word, has never given it much time, I pray that they would be convicted at this message to devote their life to reading it. So that when we come across a situation in our lives, so that when we see a friend in the struggle, we can say, there's a Bible verse for that. There's a Bible story for that. Let me tell it to you. And help us in all that we do, whether it be in what we say or what we do. Help us do it for you and your glory. And we pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. It's been an honor.